Yeah, this microphone is weird.
Good. Okay.
Hello and welcome back to The White Light. Just a reminder, this information is not intended to be construed as a medical diagnosis or treatment. This information should not take the place of a consultation with a physician or a healthcare professional for medical diagnosis and or treatment. I slip on that every time. Welcome back, guys. My name is Christian Alvarado. We've got our psychic over here, Joni.
Hi.
Hello. We've got so many witnesses in the room. Starting with you. What's your name?
I'm Sam.
Sam.
Yeah.
Hello. You over here?
I'm Emily.
I'm Kaylin.
I'm Cha-Cha.
Welcome. This is lovely. Now, Joni, just in case other people haven't tuned into the show before, sort of, how did you get here? What do you do?
Okay. So I'm originally a clinical social worker, and I was trained to do individual and group therapy. I worked in New York City for 10 years with addicts and alcoholics, and I did not believe in any of this. I thought that this was absolute bunk. In around 2003, 4, 5, I started having a spiritual awakening, and I became gifted with abilities. You could call it downloading, gifting, and I became able to do hands-on healing. I could see into bodies and do psychic surgery. I became able to do automatic writing. I could clear spaces. I could clear energies, balance chakras, which are energy centers in the body. I could channel departed ones and pets, and many, many other stupid human tricks.
Fantastic. Now, to start us off, does anyone have a question? If not, I've already got something planned. Got an idea. Can we talk to dead people now? Can we?
You can. And ooh, I'll tell you, before I channel departed ones and pets, I don't channel the way the Long Island medium does, Teresa Caputo. Mm-hmm. People who've seen her, either in person or on TV, she normally will go up to someone and say, oh, I see so-and-so around you, and it's such-and-such, and this is what they have to say, and this is what they look like. If people ask me, who do you see around you, I could see, like, the Siamese cat from ancient Egypt, who wants to come forward first with the message versus grandma,
right,
from this lifetime. So I need to have someone ask me specifically who they'd like to receive, and then that's when I can click into their energy and receive them.
Is it possible for you to communicate with a past self, someone who's already died?
When you mean past...
So your own past self.
Well, that's... Oh, now we're getting... We started getting cosmic real soon.
Yes.
Christian, we started real early. How many minutes are we into this already? And then, okay, here we go. So we are here in this lifetime, but we're also in many other lifetimes at the same time. So if I connect with another one of your aspects, I'm not getting them as dead. I'm getting them as could be a child through death. I can go from birth to death. I can do that. So I can see your birth. I can see your through your years, and I can even get your passing. But I'm not going to necessarily say it's that dead aspect of yourself. I would say that's I would be getting another aspect of you.
Okay.
And if you ask now, if any of you ask, you'll see, like, case in point, and then you'll understand exactly what I was just trying to describe.
Does anyone want to ask? Chance? Pass him the mic. There you go.
Are any of my other aspects aware of this aspect?
Always.
Always?
Huh. Yes, always. So if you even want to look at it like this, you have like an oversoul. That's like the whole is greater than the sum of its parts. Mm-hmm. So you've got the you, and then the you fragmented out into gazillion mm-hmm. other parts. And one of them is there, another one's there, and there, and there. So your oversoul knows where it is everywhere all at the same time. Mm-hmm. So yes. So the way that you are here affects all of your other aspects. The way that you are in other lifetimes affects all of your other aspects, including this one. So when you heal yourself here and you work on your own personal issues, you are healing all your other parts. So that's a very, very great thing. that's very recommended, is to be the best person that you can be and work on yourself.
Mm-hmm. Okay. I'll take that answer. All right.
Thank you.
Does You're welcome.
Any questions, comments? What's up, Emily?
So, your abilities, is it something that you have to kind of, like, click into and activate, or is it just you, like, are going about your life and you get, you, like, start picking up and seeing aspects of different people?
I keep my switch off, because if I had my switch on all the time, I would fry, and that would be with anyone. We're all hardwired the same way. We all have these abilities. The reason why I'm able to do this, I think I'm a very old soul. I think I contracted before coming into this lifetime to be doing this professionally, to be doing this to help awaken all of you who aren't as open yet. Some are more than others. And so when I go about my day, I pretty much have the switch off. If I'm on the phone or if I'm with a friend and they're in trouble, then I might, in helping them, I might turn my switch on and say, you know, this is what I'm getting. Mm-hmm. So that's when I'll turn it on. And in terms of how, I'm not sure, are you also asking how it came, how I received, or is it more about going about my daily business?
I guess going about your daily business, but I'm still very interested in, like, how it kind of came to be. Because in some ways I feel like I too am starting a spiritual awakening, but I don't know how much is, like, genuine or psychologically induced, or what, like, is legitimate and what's not. So
right. People who are having spiritual awakenings at first, and I went through this also, I asked, is this my mind? Am I thinking? Is this in my head? Or is this something outside of me? And so there's a great book that I recommend. It's by Doreen Virtue, V-I-R-T-U-E. And it's called Divine Guidance. And in that book, she separates out your ego or yourself, your mind, from clairvoyance, which is divine seeing, claircognizance, which is divine knowing, clairaudience, which is divine hearing, and clairsentience, which is divine feeling. And so she even has a few charts in there, which gives an example of what would come from your head and what would come from the other side. And I really like that book a lot. It's very helpful. People oftentimes doubt. That's the first thing. It's like, it can't be. It can't be. Are you kidding me? I had that dream and then that happened the next day, or my friend's pregnant and I knew that before she told me, or my hands are buzzing and then when I put my hands on someone, they actually stopped having that pain anymore. I actually really healed them. After you go through this enough of the time, and you realize, you see the patterns, then you just give it up. It's like, you know what? It's real. It's from the other side. And we all are open to this if we remove fear and doubt. That's the most important thing. We need to put protection around ourselves, white light, so we only allow the highest coming in, the highest of energies coming in, and believe that we're doing this to be of service for others.
Can I ask another question?
Yeah, by all means, go for it.
So you say only letting in the highest of light. So does that mean there is dark light or darkness, I suppose, that can get in too?
Yes. So this is my belief, and I don't push my belief on anyone. I just share. I believe that there is something called Source or Spirit, Creator, the I Am Presence, God, whatever you want to call it, and that it wanted to know itself. It got bored, and it exploded itself. We could call it a Big Bang, whatever you want to. It just went poof, and it, out of love, it did this, and we're all pieces. Every single thing that you see and don't see before you is part of the oneness, and that it's ever expanding and eternal, and that it is all love. Now, these fragments, these souls, these consciousnesses are having their respective journeys for soul growth opportunity to then remember that it was never separated from Source. There are souls that keep moving further away and they're playing in the dark, and they get more lost and they start doing things that are darker, and we could say evil, darkness, and that those that are doing that are not separated from, they're still God sparks. So in terms of negative energies, yes, the dark is attracted to the light, like a moth is attracted to the light, not that a moth is dark, but the light is the highest vibration, that love, and that there are other souls that do try and confound people and try and mess with them. So it's always best to put white light energy around ourselves for protection, and prayer is great. Fear is a lower vibration, and it attracts negativity. So if you find that you know people, I don't know if you do this, but if you know people that are constantly finding negative people, they're drawing them, it could be because they're very afraid, could be that they're very angry, that if you have negative lower vibration, you're going to be drawing that because likes find likes. And that if you are of a high vibration and you find that you are attracting negativity, it could be because the negativity wants to feel better, because you're coming from this heart love space and it wants that love feel. Doesn't necessarily mean they're going to play nicely with you. They might also possibly want to unseat you and bring you down. Every now and then you might find a soul that's playing in the dark that does want to know how are they doing that? What's their secret? Why do they feel so good? And that's what we're here for. If you vibrate high and you're representing love and you're living that good life of service and goodness, peachy keen stuff, then we're role modeling, or in religion, I think they would say you're being a witness, and that you're there. That's it. You're just there. You're beaming and you're just being. And then you hope that people who are playing in the negative turn around and wake up.
See, I like that. I kind of subscribe to a similar form of thought where your energy does attract people of the same kind of energy, or what you put out, people respond to, whether consciously or unconsciously. I like that interplay of energies between us. You feel me?
Totally,
bro. Totally.
Yeah, brother.
So, that being said, are we being haunted right now?
So, I love that. So, do you want to know if there are negative energies in this room, in the EC?
Let's start with the station first, because this is where I spend most of my time anyway.
Okay, so let's see. I'm going to go in. So what does going in mean, Joni? Going in means that I turn on my switch, and I put my Joni aside, and now I'm going to check it out, and I'm going to see. No.
Oh, sweet.
So there are no negative energies here, but there are no negative spirits. There are no spirits that haven't gone to the light, that they don't know they're dead, or negative energies that aren't discarnates or ghosts that are just trying to mess with y'all. But there's energy here that doesn't belong. Mm. So can I clear your radio station for ya?
Please, absolutely.
Okay, so I'll do that. So I'm putting out the intention that I'm clearing this room and the production room and the hallway. Mm. Does that encompass the whole radio station, these three compartments?
Closet over there, yeah.
And there's a closet?
Yeah, hallway, closet over there, production, and the
room. And there's a closet too. Okay, so I'll go in. It's mostly from this room. It's mostly from this production room. There have been some rants that people have gone on, and it's pretty old. I don't know how long people have been in this. How long has this radio station?
This station was built here in the early 2000s. We had one over in way up in underneath Tolly, if that means anything.
No, but it's going to be when this started.
This one was built?
Yeah.
Cool.
So this is early 2000s.
Yeah.
Okay. So there have been some rants. Someone cried also. A lot of energy here pulling this out. There's some sadness in here. And then there are a few people who've come through that didn't feel they belonged. And they felt outcast. And that's very sad. So we're moving a lot of this energy up and around. Oh. Just clearing the energy out. There are a few people that I decided to put out the intention, because with intention you could do a lot of things. That if it's for the highest good of those souls that were very sad, that they receive healing. Mm-hmm. Because here I am, I'm identifying the ones who left and dumped the energy, but why, if I can clear the space, why can't I put it out there that if the ascended masters and archangels and beloveds mm-hmm. can find those souls, whether they're alive or whether they've passed, it doesn't matter, because we are eternal. So if we pass, we just go back home. We don't disappear. That's my belief. So I put out the intention that those souls that were sad, the outcasts, the rants, the tears, and not aforementioned that dumped sadness and had discontent are found. And if they wish to engage in a dialogue with masters, that they're found. Yeah. And that's done. Yeah.
Healing. Yes. I love it.
Yeah.
Sam, have I given you enough time to ask, to think of some questions you might want to ask?
Sure. So, I have a very hard time deciding on things, is there anything that my past selves or anything is telling me I should be doing right now that I'm not or am currently doing, but not to the extent I should?
Yeah, so you just said something key. So you said you have difficulty making decisions, so I'm going to go in and find out why, because there's always a good reason, and usually it's from another lifetime. Let's see.
You guys be ready. I'm going to ask you if you've got stuff going on too.
So you were a soldier in another lifetime, and you were brought up. You had to do things a certain way. It was very, very rigid, and you were afraid that if you didn't do the right thing that your parents would just almost kick you out. It was very, 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 very rough. Is that bottled water?
It's from, like, the tap.
Have but a sip. Right. Yeah, because when I do healings, it's a reading, but a lot of times readings become healings, and so they're working on you now, so the water will help flush negative energies, energies that don't belong through the physical body. Yeah, so you don't even have to have more for right now. Okay, so you went through your life. Everything was a decision that you had to make. If I do this, I'm not sure what's going to happen. I don't know which way it's going to go. Can you relate to that?
Yeah.
So it became not life or death, but it wasn't fun every time that you came to a crossroad, because you had this burden. Your parents had put some type of a message in your head. You got to do this. You understand? You have to do this. You have to do this. You have to do this. But it was always conditional. If you don't do it, then dot, dot, dot. And you didn't know. Did you have conditional stuff in this?
Not like from my parents, but I think from myself.
From yourself. Yeah. So basically it's self-inflicted, which is very common. It's self-imposed, which is also very common. It's very human of you to do this. So and it's karma. So for those of you who aren't familiar with karma, whether it's in this room or those that are listening now, karma is imbalance. It's unforgiveness towards self and or other. So you go to your passing in that lifetime and you blame a lot of people. There are a lot of people. You had me do this, you had me do that, and this and that. And it was a fear every time that you could have gifts brought before you, but you wouldn't know what to do with it. But you, if everyone just went away, you wouldn't have to make decisions. If you were just in a cell or in the middle of the desert, then it would have been easier. But you were human having a life, and it became too much. So you blamed many, many, many souls. You blamed yourself a little bit. Karma, we all got it. So let's get rid of it, because that's going to help lift the energy and it's going to help clear you, so decisions won't be so much of a cross that you're wearing back there. The first thing you do, you say inside is, I forgive myself.
Oh, yeah.
Forgive him, her, everyone and everything. You don't have to know who they are. Ask for everyone and everything's forgiveness and thank God for these life lessons. Oh, yeah. Have another sip of water. They're doing a lot of work on you right now. So this is within the course of a month, you might feel a little weird. You might feel a little strange, like things are actually easier. And that's going to be strange.
That would be nice.
Yes, yes. It's going to be easier listening. Have you been preoccupied where sometimes it's more difficult to listen?
To some extent.
Mm-hmm. Listening is going to be easier for you. Your head's going to be clearer. You had so much baggage, and there was so much this blame, this pressure on you was so great that it was very, very difficult for you to listen. But that's eased up now. So I think that with time and healing, I think that it's going to be a thing of the past.
Good.
I don't think that you're going to have difficulty. I think it's over.
Woo, you've been healed. Congratulations.
Y'all healed.
It made my life so much easier. Thank you.
You're welcome. Yeah, I think that was huge. So between now and when you go to sleep, sip water. And if you forget to sip, don't be like, oh my gosh, it's been 2 hours, I haven't sipped, and then you do a gallon to make up for it. No, you just pick up where you leave off and just sip until you go to sleep tonight. And then over the course, I feel like in a month, like within a month, it's gone.
Right.
You went through a lot in that lifetime, and that burden is gone.
Good job, Paradoxes.
Yay! Good question.
Anyone else? What are your feelings about that? Do you got a question? What about you, Kaylin? Oh, headphones popped out. Good work.
Hi.
I
guess I was just thinking, like, in that moment about how, like, I've never felt like I've had, like, my own identity. Like, I always feel like I'm kind of, like, drifting into different parts of myself, and it's, like, I don't know how perceptive other people are of that, but, like, for me, it's, like, really, I've been just thinking about it a lot lately, and, like, I'm not, like, I'm my own person, I'm a very, like, strong individual, but, like, who I am is not clear at all.
Yes.
Which, I don't know if that makes sense.
It does.
But, okay.
Have you always felt this way, or is it more so in college?
Yeah, it's always.
Always?
Been. Yeah.
All pervasive?
Yeah.
Okay, I'm going in.
Kaylin just asked, who am I? Who am I really? What's my soul like?
I want to know. I need to know.
It's an important question, identity. The one we should be asking ourselves.
Do you have water by you?
Yeah.
Have a sip.
Okay.
So they're working on you. So there are different lifetimes of confusion and horror. It's a bit of a horror. So we've gone through things. We played victim and victimizer to balance our souls for soul growth opportunities. So I'm going to mention a few crummy things, and then we're just going to get rid of them too.
Okay.
So there was a rape. Yeah. Another lifetime. Really not good. Kind of gruesome. Not liking it. Not that any are good, but this is kind of on the more gruesome side. And my solar plexus, that's the energy center right underneath my gut in the center. That's a chakra, an energy center. It has to do with your personal power. Just totally blown. Very, very difficult to be strong. So, if you have an unresolved issue in another lifetime and you're disempowered, and there's a bleed through, and then you go to your passing in that lifetime with unforgiveness, blame towards other and self, blaming yourself and the one who committed the crime. There's a bleed through effect in this lifetime. It's better not to really stand out. It's best to go along with the flow, be diffuse. If I just spread myself out and be nothing, then I'll be safe. It's a defense. Doesn't work, because ultimately, you are drawn towards different things, but you're not going there because it's not safe to identify with anything, really. It's best to just be scattered all over the place and not really be grounded anywhere. Let's get rid of that so we can get, you're going to start congealing. It's phenomenal. You're going to start becoming the true you. And y'all are witnesses, and you're going to see her become the true you. It's going to happen over about a year. It's going to take about 1 year, and it's going to be so gradual, but you're going to start feeling elated. Let's get rid of the horror. You say inside, I forgive myself. Oh, my gosh. Do your lips ever peel?
Like
chap?
Yeah.
Yeah. That was from a forced kiss with the rape. So if you peel, then no one's going to kiss you. That's going to change. Yay! Ooh. No more peeling lips. Yay! Forgive everyone and everything. Oh, God. That was big. Bless you. Ask for everyone's forgiveness. Please forgive me because I had unforgiveness towards you. There you go. Thank God for this life lesson. Huge. Do you find that you're a little bit too accommodating?
Oh, always.
Yeah.
That's like who I am as a person.
Yeah, yeah. That's going to change. Now, it's not like she's going to be the bitch on wheels, folks. We're not going to have that. But you're gonna be different. You need that. Mm-hmm. Doormat is gone. People pleaser out the window. It's not gonna be sudden. You're gonna be coming into this. It's okay to be strong. It's okay to be you. It's okay to identify as something. And you're gonna. I don't even think it's written. I think you're a work in progress now. So they're not even going to tell you, oh, you're going to be like this. They're not saying that. They're saying, now you write the script. You're free.
You get to choose.
Yes. And that you won't feel as amorphous. You're going to congeal. You're going to become just what you want to be. And so it's like someone asking you, well, what would you dream up if you could dream up a great life? And then now you can. Because you were taken, you were abducted, and you were hurt. And that just, like, killed all promise for a really great life in that lifetime. And the karma did F it up over here. And so you did the forgiveness work, so you're free. And now the energy is free-flowing. And another thing, too, I know you don't have bath. Are you off campus or on campus?
I'm on campus.
So do you have, like, a basin? A pail or a basin?
I don't think.
It's a very specific object.
Yeah. Do you have Epsom salts?
I don't.
Also
Epsom. So at the end...
Yeah, I'm going home next week. Or you this weekend.
Spring break, it starts?
It ended already.
It ended, but you're
just,
going home?
Yeah.
Is there Epsom salts at home?
I could see. I'm not sure.
Foot bath. Epsom salt foot bath. There's some energy in your feet that can be drawn out with Epsom salts. So I would get a foot basin, you know, basin.
My mom does stuff like that.
She
so I'm
does
sure that
it. So then, like, I'd say, like, a few tablespoons of Epsom salt. So she'll, you know, moms know how much. You say, Mom, can you draw me an Epsom salt foot bath? Moms know. And so, and make it nice and warm. Make sure that they're very well dissolved, because if you put your feet in and they're not, it's going to be, like, gravelly, hard kosher salt underneath. It's like it'd hurt you. So you want to fully at least 10 minutes, and then put out the intention that you're releasing all that does not serve you, and that will also, like, brighten you. Because we all, if we have energies in us that aren't we don't need them in us, they kind of go down because of gravity, and then they end up dense in our feet. So anyone can have an Epsom salt foot bath if you're not allergic to sulfites. And that's where massaging your feet is great. Reflexology is also great. So I hope that assisted.
Yeah. Cool.
You're healed within a year.
Healed!
Fantastic. How about you?
Oh, so exciting.
Okay.
Pulling the mic over. All dramatic and such.
During high school, I felt very comfortable with myself, who I am, or who I was, or who I am. And I didn't really care what other people thought of me. But recently, I've gone back to that place where I am very... I guess, afraid of being judged by other people. And I want to get back to the place where I am comfortable with myself.
Yes.
How can I do that?
I'm going in. Let's see what happened. Because it's getting real. This is getting real. This is the big time now. This is life. You are in. It was more of a dream before. It was more of a fancy before. And now it's the big time. And it's the unknown. They say you're the evidence of such a change. You've gone through so much and they're so happy for you. And that you're the boss. And that you're in charge and you demand a certain level of integrity. And that if people don't give that to you, you get upset, very understandably, but you don't have to have them around. Mm-hmm. So I think this has to do with who you're giving your power to. Are you in charge or are you giving them the power? Is about perception. If you don't feel that you're in charge, you're letting go of your power, then you're putting your power in other people, and therefore you are giving them this ability to be judging you, overpowering, superseding, and you compromise your integrity. So what you're doing is that as you grew and changed and became so powerful, you didn't want to lose it. And I'm going to go in regarding the reverting, is that you handed it over to others and then they would judge. It's hard. I'm seeing it. It's like you had it and you owned it. And then as you were feeling it and it felt so good, you gave it up and then you were losing it, or you're losing it, and then they could then turn it on you, and then you make yourself ripe for judgment. I'm going to find out specifically how that happened. I understand how. I just want to get to the crux and see how we change this. This is about doubt. This is all about you're doubting you. It's all about did someone in your life ever tell you you were phenomenal?
My friends, but like.
Are your parents alive?
Yeah.
Do they know you're phenomenal?
They don't tell me so.
And we always want to hear that from our parents. So you incarnate into a tricky situation. So you know your parents. You chose them before you came into this lifetime. And you knew pretty darn well that they weren't going to utter that. And that's a big soul challenge when we have parents that don't say these things, unconditional things. You are phenomenal. You could do anything you set your mind to do. You're the best. And so in this lifetime, it is to come from you first.
Okay.
You have done this first. You were coming in. You have been coming into this to know that you are phenomenal. And as it became real, it's as if there was a tripwire that went off. Oh, shoot. This is the big time. It's real. And then you let it go. So let's do some forgiveness work with mom and dad. So maybe on some level, could be unconscious, you blame yourself. So let's just forgive yourself. So you say inside, I forgive myself. Forgive them. Yeah. You are. Ah, I feel that release. Ask for their forgiveness. Please forgive me because I had unforgiveness towards you. Let's hedge bets and say you had unforgiveness. We don't want karma. Thank God for this life lesson. There we go. Beautiful. There's an angel that floats about. It's pink and red and purple and blue and orange and clear. I think it's the total prism. I think it's all the colors. It's a Roy G. Biv. It's all the colors of the rainbow, and it's just, yeah. 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 And it assists you in all different ways. And the word I got is pragmatic. I usually don't use that word. How to be pragmatic, how to be basically prudent, do things basically, and be consistent, keeping it simple, cut off the excess, cut off the fat, that type of a thing. That's that angel that helps you. I'm just going to go one more time regarding this. They're assisting you. They're talking to you now. So there are a lot of souls now that are assisting you in this way. They're going to help you shift. Decisions are going to be made. You're going to be forced to make a few decisions. Not bad. Life. And that they're going to be assisting you, and it's going to be really good. Your parents are there for you. I feel that. I definitely feel that. You're coming into your own. This is a time of change. There will be drastic development, too, which is really good. So you might be stepped up, and you might really up the ante and go even further. Boom, 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 boom. I don't know who's around, but they say people aren't going to be telling you what to do. So you're the boss. Uh-huh.
Nice.
And so there's a shift. You're going to be, I think this, you're taking it back now. I feel like you're taking it back. So watch that happen. And good luck.
Thank you.
You're welcome.
Power to you. Em, got anything in mind?
Doesn't really have anything in mind. Yeah, really.
Those headphones are kind of janky. Keep popping in and out.
I don't know. I guess I have no questions, but all the questions.
I understand.
I suppose I don't know whether to ask, like, am I on the right track? Because I don't think that's necessary for me to know right now.
Okay, but people ask it all the time.
Yeah.
So you
not really. I kind of don't want to know.
That's fine.
Mm-hmm. I think it'd be interesting to know about past lives, because I always wonder who I was, who I am.
You like Europe, so you're in Europe a lot in different lifetimes. You go over there, so you like Greece. You also like Hungary. You like Turkey. You were an Arab sheikh. You had a whole bunch of women. You told them what to do. And were you maybe on the feminist group before?
No.
Isn't that interesting? So you want to hear the real cool stuff about that?
Mm-hmm.
We learn by opposites. So you have a lifetime where you were ordering the women around with your harem, and you come into this lifetime. The only thing that I know is that there was a feminist show before. And so we do this where we learn from playing opposites. And there are no mistakes and there are no bads. We learn. So I'm not saying ordering women around in a harem is good. What I'm saying is that there's no judgment. And that by our playing in all different ways, we get a taste of everything because our souls are so curious. So I find that really psychedelic that you are playing by opposites in this lifetime. It's fantastic. That balances your soul. And if you have any karma, hey, let's get rid of some karma. Let's say that in that other Arab sheikh lifetime where you had a harem of women that you ordered around, maybe you crossed them. Maybe you block their free will. Let's get rid of karma and really like hype up this life too. So you say inside, I forgive myself. Oh. I felt that. That's a great release. Forgive him, her, everyone and everything. Ask for everyone and everything's forgiveness and thank God for this life lesson. Wow. Yeah. gorgeous. You hunted animals and you liked deer, so you ate venison a lot. You liked being in the woods a lot, a lot. It was very special for you. I see you as an Indian. You're a Native American Indian. You like Greece a lot. I know I said that before, but you like Greece and Athens in particular. You've written books. That isn't Greece, but you've written books. You've charted courses, and you loved maps. You held maps in your hand. You were very interested in rivers and streams and tributaries. Conservation. Do you do water conservation or something with recycling and water and tap and the whole filter thing and the whole business?
Not specific to water, but I'm very... I am...
Environmental and conservation. Totally. Totally. You've climbed mountains and you've hiked.
Oh, I've hiked too.
You were on horses. You loved stirrups. You loved getting on the horse. I don't know what your thing is with stirrups. You should have a picture of a horse stirrup in your room. Go figure. Not that it's your fantasy object, honey. We're not going to get kinky here. But I got to tell you, you have a thing with horse stirrups. Mm-hmm. Huh. You know, if you literally were an equestrian shop and they had horse stirrup earrings, I don't know what that is, but that would probably blow your mind. Not necessarily you, but your spirit would just be like, oh, oh.
I have a pair.
No, you don't.
Yeah.
No way.
Yeah.
Okay.
It's just funny.
Are you kidding?
No, it was like the first thing I've ever really gotten from the thrift store.
Is that like, is that where you put your feet on, like when you get onto a horse?
Yes.
Oh, okay.
So... if you had the Twilight Zone, do-do-do-do-do-do-do, that would be appropriate right now, okay?
Oh
can you I'm speechless.
What are the odds of that?
You have stirrup earrings, and they were the first things you ever got in a thrift store?
Pretty much, one of them.
It's a little bit too specific.
Yeah.
Kind of like Filipino elves.
Yeah.
If we could kind of go there. So there you go. So this, folks, is a case in point how other lifetimes have bleed through effects into this one. You had such a thing with stirrups and equestrian that your spirit found them because you needed the connection. I'm really happy for you. That's amazing.
How many times have we met each other? All of us in this room.
Two.
Oh.
Let's see. You, Christian, have known 1, 2, 3. Me. You've seen her. That was the twice. You know him. You. There's an anonymous witness in the room also. And they're... you were their uncle.
Oh, hey. What's up, nephew?
You've and then with me, if we throw me in, I know all of you. Wow. Now, someone once told me that 95% of our everyday life experiences are past life related. Mm. 95%. So imagine, take your day from the moment you wake up to the moment you go to sleep, and then take 95% of it, and our goings on, our traverses, you know, the way our paths cross with others, 95% is related to other lifetime.
Another question.
Yeah.
It's not unrelated, but can you tell me my connection to my brother?
Yeah. What's his name? You were a director in a movie. You were a production director of movies, and you wanted him to play a certain part, and you found him. He was in your film.
Interesting. Was it a good film?
It was okay.
Okay.
That's so funny. Not that I saw it. I'm just channeling. I just go into the energy. You pulled him in. You said, son, you're a man. Son, come here. I want to see. Take a look. Smile. Let me see your profile. Say some words. I heard you did Shakespeare. How are you? Come to the stage. I want to see what you look like. Come on up. Come. And then he came up and he starts saying, you know, Romeo, Romeo, wherefore art thou, Romeo, whatever he did. And then you're hired. You're hired. You're hired. And he blown away. He needed, this is crazy stuff. I love this. He needed a ride to get to town or something. And I think you might have had a motorcycle and you picked him up and the two of you became friends. And it just started like that. And he would show up at the theater. And then he was doing some performing, and I think I think he needed a ride to town. Yeah, you had a motorcycle. You picked him up. You dropped him off somewhere, but then I think you might have said what you did, and he would show up, and you would be producing. And there was a stage, and he started horsing around. Horsing around. No pun intended. And you couldn't get over the way he was. I think he was mocking someone. So it's like, get up here. You're mocking. Let me see what you've got. And he was it. He was the be-all, end-all. He was it. And then you said, you're hired. And I think that it was almost like horsing around like a joke. But he needed a job. He wanted in. The two of you found one another, which was a pre-birth plan to have it set up where he just needed a ride. It's the way it started. And then he ended up, and you gave him... You gave him his big break. It feels like it's about 1950. That's around when this started. Mm-hmm. And I feel there's love and humor. And he's really funny. He's a funny guy. Yeah.
I just feel like out of so many of my friends, like, I feel like... My brother and I are so deeply connected.
There's a lot of respect. There's deep respect. And there's deep love. Yeah.
Can I ask another question?
Yeah.
I'm always, like, I'm in, like, perpetual fear that he's going to die young.
No.
I'm gonna ask. Okay.
Let's find out why.
Good job.
So there's another lifetime he was slaughtered in a massacre and you were there and you saw it, and so that you're afraid that this could happen again. And so I'm just going to put out the intention that any of that trauma's released from you. Yeah. And then let's see if and you wish that you could have done something, so you have guilt. You feel responsible that you didn't save his life, and that's karma. You blame yourself. Let's get rid of karma. You say inside, I forgive myself. Oh. Forgive him. Forgive everyone and everything. Ask for everyone and everything's forgiveness and thank God for these life lessons. He lives a long life.
Sweet.
It's okay. It's okay, I understand. It's what you saw. Very horrible. He's fine. Yeah.
Feel better?
Yeah.
Can I ask? Oh my gosh. Okay. I'll pick just one question then. How am I gonna die?
They probably won't tell you.
Ah, I knew
so
it.
So they. So I'm not the doom and gloom psychic, and I don't think I know any that do that.
Mm-hmm.
Maybe there are, but I'm not friends with any of them, and I'm friends with a lot of psychics and healers.
Okay.
That would be Wiggy. If you ever go to a psychic and they tell you when you're going to die, your age or how, just erase and delete. They're not supposed to. That's not why we're here. We're inspiring. We're not going to wig people out. It's like, oh, my God, it's getting closer to that. Ah. That's Twilight Zone-y, and that would make you have an aneurysm early. You'd probably die even before the date. You'd end up, you know, having a nervous breakdown, not healthy. So they say you're fine. You're going to live a nice life, and that's all they're saying.
I'll take it. Fine. What's up? What kind of question? What were you going to ask? Ominous.
Is it possible that the different aspects of me are alive at the same time?
They all are.
They all are?
Yeah.
Okay.
They're all playing at the same time. There's no such thing as past, present, future. Everything is happening concurrently.
Are they on the same world as we are?
Not necessarily. Okay. No. So there's Earth, and then there are many other planets and realms and realities all over.
We sort of covered this territory in the last podcast where it was like there are parallel selves that we've got going on and all of our past and future selves are happening simultaneously. Weird kind of stuff. If you want to tune into that, go to WMNJradio.com/podcast, click on the white light, and look at the rest of the podcast that we've got.
And I think that was episode 3.
That was 3, yes. This is episode, what, 4?
This is 4.
Oh my god. 4 months now. Whee! That's crazy. We haven't much time left, so I don't think there's a point in opening up the lines. Do we have any final closing questions and stuff like that? Comments or concerns?
Somewhat of a question. You can tell me, and maybe if anyone else wants to know, is there anything that like goes through every single one or most of my
a theme?
Ooh,
that's like a good one.
A soul trait, a soul line. Or
let's see what the theme is. Passion. Yours is passion. Yours is exuding passion. That's your soul is so in tuned with getting deep into something, becoming enthralled, and loving something so much that you're at one with it. So, and I see you're smiling. Mm-hmm. So, I think does that resonate with you?
Yeah.
Passion. It's now. Passion is key for you. That's your soul's get off, let's say. But you need to be careful when you would possibly go too far.
Okay.
So we don't want anything. We don't want going overboard, and we don't want ennui, which is that lackadaisical boredom.
Yeah.
To have passion and be full in that and enjoy that. That's what it's about. But if you ever find yourself slacking off or getting too overly involved where other things drop to the wayside and you need to be more balanced, get back in tune. Get more centered in the middle. But passion is your theme.
All right.
Passion.
That's
next,
great.
I wanna know.
Yeah, I want to know mine.
Okay, we can start this way and then go down.
The theme?
Yeah.
Yours is the tribute to you. So in each lifetime, it's about recognizing you and making a tribute to you. So if you love yourself 150% and you know your worth, imagine like when someone makes a tribute to someone, that's like where they're extolling them. Mm-hmm. You are to get to that place where you extol yourself, make a tribute to you. And that's what you've been searching for in different lifetimes is where you make a tribute to you. Okay. Where it's unwavering.
Hmm. What about you, Kaylin? What's Kaylin's? I'm sorry if this is, like, exhausting.
No, it's great. I'm the Energizer Bunny. I love this.
This will be our last round before we close out the show.
Do you draw?
I don't typically.
Do you like spaces? Are you architect and design? Or do you like personal space?
I prefer personal.
Yeah. So it's interesting because they use the word figure. So the first thing you think of when you get these downloads is a figure, like your figure. And then I'm going, no. No. And then I'm going, like, is it a figure? No. So it's your space. It's all about maintaining personal space. What's yours? Ownership. Personal property. Where do you begin? Where do you end? Boundaries. Setting limits. Maintaining your integrity. So that figure, it's almost like it's like your room, and you've delineated it. When you make a figure eight or any figure, drawing a figure, you're putting a line around it. And this is mine in here, and that's yours out there. And you're getting it right. That's in this lifetime and the others. It's about finding the balance, but knowing who you are, not letting people in who don't belong, keeping people out who don't belong, and having people enter who have integrity. And when you do that and you master that, you're going to feel like Da Bomb, the way he's Da Bomb. Well, we're all Da Bomb. But it's just I said that before. And I'm dating myself by saying that, by the way, because no one says that anymore. So, was I clear with that?
Yeah, I was thinking the same thing.
Does that make sense?
Oh yeah, for sure.
I'm glad.
Emily's turn.
Let's see. You turn things upside down, honey. You're a tornado. We need that. Are you a tornado? Oh, yeah. There you go. The tornado. We need you. We need you. We need the tornado woman. We always need a tornado. Now, we're not talking chaos maker where we're all going to get sick from it. We need someone to turn things around. We need someone to have... You know, if we don't have a tornado maker, we're not going to question things. But you know how to do it. And you know how to weave into people's lives and get like, hey, wait a minute. Have you thought about that? Why are you doing that? Why are you doing that? Have you thought of doing that differently? I don't understand why you're doing that. You know, there's another way of doing it. I could tell you. You want to hear? Oh, you don't want to hear? Okay, I won't tell you. Oh, you do want to hear? Ah, this is what I'm going to tell you. And this is your whole thing. That's your gig. You have been fashioning things in different ways, very creatively, in all different lifetimes. You're a change maker, but you're civil. You're not unruly. This is civil unrest, and that's perfect because people are listening when you're civil. When you're uncivil, they're not going to pay you no mind. They don't want you around. Then you sully up the story. They like you because you come in, you use humor, and you use your wile, and then you say something. Kind of directly, but not necessarily, with a little bit of a smirk. And then you drop the bomb. I've sang bomb a lot. Very interesting. Da bomb and the bomb. Anyway, that something must be going on with my karma. Or I don't know. Maybe I've made bombs. I don't know. I have to forgive myself later. And so, and you drop it, and then you leave, and you're done. Because you know that your work is done. And then it's for them to make. They get to decide what they're going to do with what you've left with them. And you don't have any expectations. They don't have to change. Because that's their story. You know who you are. You're quite clear. You're still fashioning who you are. But you have opinions and you have ideas. And you want people to be the best that they can be. And you're the tornado. And thank you for being here.
Do you feel good about that one? Like you got some clarity? Like you got some knowledge out of that?
I mean, lately I feel what you've been going through, Chance, where it's like you felt like you knew who you were, like in high school. And coming into college, I was so confident that I knew who I was, but then I realized like my angst and my sometimes abrasiveness and just like my passion, it's kind of... I had to tone it down here because I'm this like colorful little fucking bitch from Los Angeles coming to a tiny school in New Jersey, and no one really wants to see me be the tornado. I don't know. So it's interesting. So it just kind of reaffirms like I was on the right track, and there's no reason to like.
Absolutely. To go from the bright lights, big city, Los Angeles, to here. We needed you. This is quiet town as compared, right? I mean, you could find it in New York, but you didn't go to New York. You came to Madison. Mm-hmm. And there's a reason. You planned that, by the way, before you came in. Before you came into this life. You said, I'm going here. They need me. That's what you said. They need me. Love it.
It's always fun to have clarity like that.
Okay.
All right. Let's see. I'm ready. This will be the last one, then we're done.
You trick yourself. So you do this thing with a trick. You're all about the trick. So you're doing something. It's very, it's different from Emily, where Emily is doing something. She's a change agent for outward. You are working on something inward. And so you will set something up. And then you twist it around and you confuse yourself on purpose to then get yourself all confused. So then you have to figure it out again. Mm-hmm. You know, we were talking earlier about that puzzle, the
escape room.
Yeah, the escape room. That's you. Mm. There's no coincidence that of all the types of trucks that could come in for a festival, that it might be an escape room because you're running the show. And so you get to choose what type of truck. And so you're like the trickster on yourself, the Houdini, the escape artist, and that you'll set something up and you'll be moving along and all of a sudden you find yourself in it, you go, whoops, and then it becomes, I don't know what to do. Which way do I go? I don't know what to do now. I don't know. Now I'm at the crossroads here. What am I going to do? Which way? And you put this intense energy into the system, which leads you to have to change or make a decision or look at something, and it totally jazzes you, even though it might not feel good, but that's for your soul growth. It's an opportunity for you to heighten and do more when you self-impose stress. Does that make sense?
It does. I'm kind of just wondering why I would do that.
Because it's different, and it's creative, and it's a way of pushing you without someone pushing you. You push yourself. If another person did that to you, you might say, lay off, or why are you messing with me? But they might be giving you good stuff, mm-hmm. but you might prefer to have an inward challenge versus having someone outside of you cause you to be in those situations where mm-hmm. you need to think about something differently. It's less threatening.
You know, I think it makes sense. I feel like I am one to trick myself or play games with myself in that kind of way all the time.
Look at that.
All right, I got some clarity. All right, whatever.
Was that called a bad answer?
No, that was pretty good. That was pretty spot on. All right, that brings us to the end of the show. Thank you, guys. Thank you, everyone. Round of applause.
Oh, thank you all. Great questions. Oh, thank you.
Fantastic job.
Thanks for having me here.
If you guys want to listen to more of these podcasts, wmnjradio.com/podcast. Click on the white light, and you'll see the past 3 episodes that we've uploaded, plus this one. Joni, where can we find you?
You could find me at www.jonies.com. JOANIES whitelighthealing.com. And you could also find me on Facebook, and if you want to friend me, just tell me how you found me.
Fantastic. All right, then. I'll see you next time. Ooh, the next episode is April 16th. Yes.
It's a Tuesday.
I think it's a Monday.
Oh, was it? Okay. I think you're right.
Sam's nodding ahead.
Yeah.
Yeah. Nodding there ahead. We go. Just Monday, April 16th.
Mm-hmm.
Perfect.
You can also find everyone, I believe, Saturday, April 14th during Forest Fire. We're going to have a whole psychic panel. Who are we having? Who are your friends?
Okay, so I will be there, and I'll be doing readings and healings. I think, what is that? That's Saturday the
14th
mm-hmm. from 12 to 5?
Yes.
In the EC?
Yes.
So Peter Jarvis will be there selling crystals and answering your questions all about crystals. My friend Nancy Lucas will be doing tarot card readings. My friend Susan Wilk will be doing meditation. My friend Brenda Ivy will be doing angel card readings and healings. And another fantastic predictive astrology friend, Crystal B, will be doing predictive astrology. I'm not sure if she's going to be doing the astrology there, but I know she sells jewelry there.
I think she does. I think she
is the astrologer for sure. And I have to see if I've gotten through everyone. I hope I'm not missing anyone.
We'll blast it out before it happens.
Yeah, definitely come on down. We're going to be here and we'll be doing, I think, 10 minute readings for all of you in the EC. We can't wait.
It's going to be fantastic. All right. Thank you guys for coming down. It's a great show.
Woo!
Catch you guys later.